The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Today I'm going to do a really basic talk. Somehow it's just come out like a really basic 101 talk. Sitting still with feelings. And basic it may be, but easy it may not be. Because we think, oh, we are sitting still with our feelings. What? You know? To state the obvious, our feelings can be very compelling, overwhelming. Anger, fear, desire, really strong sometimes. And we can create a lot of suffering by just acting on impulse when we're really angry or upset or afraid or wanting something. And then there are the more subtle and mild feelings, slight irritation or dislike of somebody. We may not even be aware of it, you know, just, a little vague sort of dread or unease that arises sometimes, a sense of complacency, you know, satisfaction from seeming to win an argument. I don't know if anybody actually wins an argument, but there we go. The sort of feeling that, I showed them, you know. They're all feelings. And, you know, it's good to be aware of them, and then we are not so bound by them. Because we can recognize them and say, ah, I'm getting a little annoyed here, better be careful. And of course, we have positive feelings, not just negative ones. Positive feelings of, you know, joy, gratitude, love, compassion, you know, all of those. And, you know, great. And we don't want to be completely overwhelmed by them either, but to be totally kind of hog wild about some lovely feeling of niceness. We can overdo it. But I'm mostly talking today about the negative feelings, the ones that create harm. Because the feelings of joy, compassion, and so forth, they don't tend to be such a problem, you know. But the feelings of anger and aversion and stuff clearly can create difficulties. And we have instinctive feelings that we don't want to ignore, you know. I've got a bad feeling about this, you know, or somehow I just don't think this is a good idea and I'm not quite sure why. And when we have those, you know, we need to just look and see, am I just sort of wanting something for myself here? Am I just afraid for my own self-interest? Or is this actually not a good idea? Just to sit still and see, you know, maybe I should be afraid. Maybe it's unwise. If we sit still and see what's going on, am I just wanting something or not wanting something? Or is this really not a good idea? Or whatever. A lot of Buddhist training in all the traditions is in being still with our negative feelings. And there are all sorts of techniques to help with this. In Theravada Buddhism, there is the contemplation on death for people, you know, to help with sexual desire, you know, contemplating the unwholesome, the unattractiveness of the body, contemplating cadavers. And that's a way of helping. Maybe the body isn't always cracked out to be. It looks pretty gross from here. You know. Or practicing loving-kindness meditation to deal with anger. You know, and these help, really do. And of course, you know, Pema Chodron, who's a Tibetan Buddhist, talks a lot about working with anger and fear and these kinds of things. So in all the traditions, there are all kinds of ways of helping us with negative emotions. Meditation itself is our most powerful tool to help with our feelings, to sit still with our feelings. And it's not because feelings are bad, you know. It's not we're bad because we have feelings. We have feelings because we're human beings. We're not trying to become vegetables. We're just trying not to create suffering for ourselves and other people. Feelings arise. And sometimes they arise all the more strongly when we meditate with them, because we recognize them. They're not just kind of squashing them down, but thinking, boy, I'm really annoyed about this, you know, this really irritates me, or I'm really worried about this, really afraid. And sometimes they can just seem bigger because we're actually looking at it. And that's good, because we're seeing it. But it's what we do with them that can create the problems. If we're really angry, you know, we can do a lot of harm if we yell at somebody. Feeling upset isn't the problem, it's what we do that can create the problem. And when you recognize the feeling, of course, we can deal with it much more effectively than when we just fly into a rage and not even realizing we're angry until we've really hurt somebody, or, you know, running away in terror from something and not realizing what we're doing, and suddenly, why did I do that, you know? We don't have to keep our feelings all stuffed inside and pretend they're not there. You know, I'm a Buddhist, I'm nice, you know, I don't have anger. We can let someone know if we're upset and then maybe work it out. It's much better than just pretending everything's fine. You know? But the thing is, why are we upset? That's the thing. Why am I upset about this? Why am I so annoyed or afraid? Or why do I feel, you know, I want to lash out at somebody in this situation where I feel helpless or whatever it is? Seeing what's going on, that's where the training lies. What's going on? Why is it getting to me? You know, or why am I afraid? Or, you know, what am I doing here? What's my motive? What do I have invested, you know? Why am I getting angry? Or whatever. And if we can recognize what we're feeling, then we're not so bound by it. If I can recognize that I'm getting annoyed, I can relinquish. Ah, I'm really irritated here. Or maybe I just wake up crabby and I'm just looking for something to get mad about, you know. And maybe nobody's problem, but just think, oh look, I'm really crabby this morning. Be careful, you know. Something happens that I may not like. Well, 20 minutes later, maybe, so what, you know? But at the time, it might be compelling. I need to fix that person, I need to do something. But if we recognize it and just recognize that it's just really my mind, you know, it's not that somebody is doing something horrible, then we can relinquish. And with other things, fear, oh, I'm a little afraid of this situation. Okay, just be careful, you know. Don't be kind of run around by that. Sometimes we have to do things that we're afraid of. And we have to do them anyway. We can't just kind of keep putting them off, like going to the doctor about something, maybe we don't want to hear bad news, you know. Maybe it's good just to go and face it. When we look, most of our feelings are based on desire and aversion, based on wanting this and not wanting that. I like this, I don't like that. I like being with this person, I don't like being with that person. We want to feel loved, secure, and worth something. We want to have our basic needs met. And we like the pleasures of the senses. We like a good meal and a good movie and those kinds of things. And we don't want to feel lonely and unloved. We don't want to be vulnerable and unsafe. And we certainly don't want to be cold and hungry or homeless. And this is all completely normal. And it helps us survive. If I didn't, you know, want to eat, well, I wouldn't. And that wouldn't do us very much good. But it also creates problems when we attach too much to what we want and what we don't want. Or forget about other people, because other people have needs and desires and all that too. When we spend all our time trying to get what we want and avoid what we don't want, it's a suffering, it's a bondage. And that is what we're trying to relinquish. Not that we shouldn't like things or, you know, try to make ourselves not dislike being hungry or cold, but not to be enslaved to them, not to be more fearful than we need be, more grasping than we need be, but to hold it more lightly, to recognize it, to sit still with it. And if we can sit still with our fear and desire and so forth, then we're much less bound by it. We're not so much, you know, just acting on impulse and not knowing why, and then, you know, because if we can figure out, oh, it's because I really don't want to get into that situation, and why, and maybe investigate and see, ah, that's what that is. Okay. Views and opinions. Our views and opinions are also very often based on desire and aversion, what I like and what I don't like, or fear, you know, when we get down to it. The views we tend to adopt are often the ones that accord with the way we want things to be for ourselves. This will make me feel happy if we have this, but it's an opinion, but it's a right opinion. I mean, this is how things should be, you know, clearly. But actually, there's a selfish motive under there, very likely. Or seeing a problem with something that we don't like, you know, ourselves don't want. It's often that way. We think we have a clear view, and often it's really just based on what I want and what I don't want, which is not necessarily the perfect view, to say the least. We don't see the whole picture, because we see what we see, you know, our own little view. We don't see the whole thing. The world doesn't revolve around me, despite what I may think. And what I want is not actually the most important thing. And what I don't want is not actually the most horrible thing. All through life, we often get what we don't want and don't get what we want. And to be able to sit still with that and not make it a suffering is liberating. The hard thing about feelings is that we think they're the reality. We think they're us. We think our feelings are completely real. This really is a bad thing, you know, not just I don't happen to like it. And we identify with our feelings, you know. I'm an angry person, I'm a greedy person, I'm a mean person, I'm a fearful person, I'm a whatever kind of a person. And it's very hard to disentangle feeling from our view of ourselves, because they seem to be so much part of how we perceive ourselves. I am this kind of a person. I have these kinds of views. I react in these ways. I'm always like this. I always do this, you know. It's easy to get stuck with a view like that. Oh, I never succeeded. I never managed to do this. So I always get upset about this kind of thing. And in fact, we can change, and we do change, if we give ourselves a chance. Feeling is just one of the five skandhas, the five heaps, the five aggregates that make up what is our experience. Form, body, the physical world, sensation, feeling, what we're just talking about. Thought, volition or will, and consciousness. This is our experience, and feeling is just one of them. It's not me. It's not the only thing. You've got all the other things too. I am not my mind. Yeah. Profound. Impermanence. Feelings come and go. They don't last forever. Sometimes it seems we have something that just goes on and on and on. You know, we're constantly struggling with despair or a tendency to anger or whatever it might be, and it seems like it never goes away. But in fact, it comes and goes. It's not as things just sitting there like a cloud. But it actually moves. It just keeps on coming through. It keeps coming, but it's moving. Like despair. Feels like a sort of grey fog that just sits on us and won't go away. And here it is, wherever we look. And it seems to pervade everything. But in fact, it's moving. It's moving through us. And we're just feeling it as it moves through. It's not a permanent thing. Because of its nature, it feels like it's static, but it's not. It just moves through us. And it's very helpful to remember that, whether it's despair or fear or anger, whatever it might be that we struggle with, we actually do progress. We do move through, even when it keeps coming up and coming up and coming up. We actually can sit still with it. And that is what helps it to change. Even when it takes a really long time, we can do it. Feeling is the reaper of karma, which sounds kind of obscure, but it's very comforting and helpful, and it works on several levels. First, it means that what we feel is caused by something we did or that others have done. In a very simple way, if I get angry at somebody and yell at them, I'm going to feel bad. And then they may not like me and they may do something bad to me. This is a very simple cause and effect thing, you know, and then I feel bad. Or we break a precept and we feel despair. You know, this always happens. I always break this precept. I just can't seem to train or something. Cause and effect. It's not just random suffering. There is a reason for the feelings we have. And we may not know what they are. They may be from habits of mind from ages past. Because we all have tendencies. We all have habits of mind, ways we respond to situations. Maybe habitual anxiety, chronically worrying about everything, you know. Anytime something happens, we worry about it. Or, you know, or irritation, you know, habitually angry, never, whatever it is, we get upset. Because we've cultivated it, and we may not be aware of it. Because sometimes it's so habitual we don't see it anymore. It's like wearing dark glasses. We don't realize that we're seeing everything darkly. In fact, things can be a lot brighter when we take them off. And lots of things are like this. We all have our particular pairs of glasses, sometimes many pairs of glasses, all the way down our nose, that we are trying to see the world through. And sometimes it's a bit muddy by the time we get through all that. Just trying to keep trying to take them off. Ah, pink glasses. Purple ones, right. Thinking poorly of ourselves, falling into despair because we seem like we never can do any better. All these feelings, if we can sit still in the midst of them, recognize them and not act on them and not completely believe them, that is the cleansing of karma. Feeling is the reaper of karma. That I feel something is because of my own habits of mind that I have cultivated, maybe inadvertently, and I can change. If I can recognize it, then I can do something. If I can't recognize it, you know, I don't do anything because I don't realize it's happening. Because we think our habits of mind are normal, or just how, oh, surely everybody's like this, you know. Well, maybe not. Over and over again, I see that, you know, sometimes we think that everybody sees things the same way that we do. Well, of course, everybody gets mad when such and such happens, or of course, everybody likes such and such, you know. And it may not be so. Everybody's actually different. And yet, we all have the same thing of we have our tendencies. That we just need to recognize, sit still with, and transform. And actually we can be grateful for them because they help us. If we're a person who has a lot of, say, anger, it's so uncomfortable, we have to do something. And that impels us to try to change. If everything's fine and we were completely happy all the time, we wouldn't do anything. We'd just, you know, live our life and not try to change ourselves, not try to confront our suffering or work on ourselves. Mind you, if we were perfectly happy and completely nice, maybe we wouldn't need to, but I don't know anybody who's quite like that. Excuse me. So when we can recognize the feeling, whatever it is, and sit still with it and just feel it, not try to drive it away, or not try to justify it, or not get mad about it, not judge it. Not judge it. Not judge it. Simply to sit with it. That is helping to cleanse it. Just by sitting still, right in the midst of anger, or despair, or desire, or fear, and not saying, oh God, I'm this awful person because I had this happen again. Just say, ah, here's anger again. Here's desire. Here's that same old fear again. You know, here it is. Hello, jealousy. Okay, I recognize you. I know this flavor. Just to sit still in the midst of it. It's got to be something. You know, if it wasn't this, it would be something else. You don't have to judge it. Just to sit still. And that helps us to purify it. It helps in the immediate situation, because likely we won't impulsively do something we might regret, like yell at somebody or whatever. And it helps us to transform those habits of mind gradually, gradually, over time. Sometimes they're really deep, really strong, and really hard to see. And yet, we can do it just by the simple act of sitting still when we're upset or wanting. Just seeing what's going on. And if we're not making a judgment out of it, we can see it a whole lot more clearly. Ah, it's self-interest here. I just want something. I'm not this wonderful altruistic person I thought I was. I actually have something invested here. Okay, you know. To see that our feelings are just feelings and they're not the ultimate reality is hard. If we tend to think poorly of ourselves, we think we're seeing clearly. I really am a bad, unworthy, awful person, you know. I'm seeing clearly. Clearly, that's what it is. I might have thought I was a nice person, but clearly I'm a bad, unworthy person. Well, it's still a filter. It's not true. And we don't realize that we're seeing through these dark glasses because we're so used to them. But in fact, we're all like this. None of us sees clearly. None of us has the true and perfect view. The self. It's our view of a self, us real and separate self, of course, that causes all this. And is the basis, of course, for all our feelings of anger and fear and desire and all that. If we could just see ourselves as simply the same as everybody else, just a part of everything that's going on, just not separate from anybody, just connected with everybody, just one of everybody, then we wouldn't have so much of this fear and anger. We might have a little fear when we're in some dangerous situation, maybe quite a bit, but it would be different, I think. I think we'd still have feelings, of course, but there isn't that self underlying, I want this and I don't want that and I like this and I don't like that, you know. As it says, the way to the ultimate is not hard. Simply avoid being picky and choosy. That's all you have to do. Just avoid being picky and choosy. Simple, you say, oh, fine. What? You know. It's the self that wants this and doesn't want that, likes this, doesn't like that. Same old self at the bottom of it all. Because, of course, the self is a deluded view. We don't have a separate little self. We think we do, but actually we are part of everybody else. We are connected with everybody and everything. And we are just part of it all. Completely permeable. No boundary. This, even the skin is completely permeable. And I don't know that anybody who never has a selfish thought or a selfish impulse I think that even for the very best of us, even the most saintly, I'm sure it's an ongoing process. I'm sure the Buddha, you know, still had to deal with stuff. It wasn't like suddenly everything was bliss after his enlightenment. He had all kinds of things happen. And for most of us, I think it's just an ongoing process of training. Sometimes we're selfish, sometimes we're not. Sometimes quite ordinary people act in completely amazing and unselfish ways. Totally ordinary people will rescue somebody that they've never seen before at risk to their lives just because it's good to do. And then afterwards when they're asked about it, they say, well, of course I did that. Wouldn't anybody, you know? They don't see it as anything unusual. And this happens all the time. So everybody has this heroic side, a saintly side. And everybody has a selfish side. The same person may, at another time, act in a completely selfish way, run away in the face of danger, or, you know, not do the thing that's the noble thing. Because each of us can be a hero or a saint, and each of us can be clouded and deluded and selfish from one moment to the next. We're not stuck with any of it. It's a matter of choice, moment by moment, what we do with our feelings, whether we run away from fear. And maybe we should run away when there's a fearful thing. Maybe it's the obvious thing to do, not to say, well, I'm going to be brave and stand and look at this volcano blowing up. Not very smart. Sometimes it's good to run away. But the self that wants this and doesn't want that, to see that, to see it working. And that which sees it is not itself caught up in it. Ajahn Chah talks about the one who knows, the one who sees, that which sees, oh, I'm getting angry, is not itself angry, is not caught up in it. This little bit of me that says, hang on a minute, you know, you're just wanting something here, or you're getting upset, or I'm crabby today. That little bit is not caught up in it. That is the one who knows, quite awake, aware, alert. And we can foster that and stay with that and not completely be stampeded by the fear, desire, or whatever it might be, or even those subtle feelings of, I'm not sure I like this, you know. To see what's arising in the mind. Look at what the mind is doing. When we're looking at the mind and seeing what it's up to, we're not so caught up in it, because the one who knows, ah, what am I doing here? That's a selfish little thought, don't you think? No. Our true nature is still. It's like the ocean with the waves. The ocean is still. The waves are just the waves of thought and feeling. We don't have to be totally blown over by them. We can sit beneath them. And even when we're all stirred up, we can say, okay, here we are. I'm really upset. Just to take refuge in the one that knows. Somehow sit beneath it as best we can. And when we don't manage it, okay, sorry. Try and do better next time. The waves are not the reality. They come and they go. The ocean is still. We are all part of that. Nothing can take that away or damage that or mess it up. We are all part of it. And that is our refuge, our true refuge, the stillness beneath the waves of feeling. Rinpoche Master Hariyo's great phrase that I constantly repeat, the only difference between feeling good and feeling bad is that feeling good is nicer. This is profound, because we don't have to be constantly looking for feeling good and avoiding feeling bad. We can simply feel crummy. Okay, I don't feel well today. Okay, I feel miserable today. Okay, I feel irritable today. Or now, at this moment. If you say today, it means consigned ourselves to the whole day of whatever it is. At this moment, I'm having a rather uncharitable thought. Maybe I will not persist with it, you know. Just to let it all come and go. Not to make it our refuge, not to make the waves our refuge, to make the stillness beneath our refuge. Easier said than done. Constantly we find ourselves caught up in feeling, wanting, not wanting. And yet we can keep coming back. We can recognize it. Oh, what am I doing? Just come back. Just come back. Just come back to sitting still. And that is the liberation within this Saha world of feeling and pain and sorrow, joy and loss and all that. The true refuge of stillness beneath it all that we can entrust ourselves to, take refuge in, and do our very best with, imperfectly as we generally do, just to do our best. And that's it. Thank you.